Big Game James Liccardi alongside Jace Denman, and we're heading to the phone lines, man. We're being joined by probably the best guest that that the Fargo Metro can offer up, the host of FCS Nation, Kevin Marshall. Kevin, another season of FCS football is back, man. Are you like a kid in a candy shop at this point? I'm seeing that you guys got a couple more stations as well this season. How have things been going in FCS Nation land?
James and Jace, we are rolling, y'all. We are ready to go. Yes, added Las Vegas just a couple days ago, which is a huge get for us. And this season is going to be the best one in FCS in a while. Everybody feels like they have a shot this year. Whether that's true, whether it's not, whether we're going to end up with the same four or five teams vying for the national championship remains to be seen. But people feel like they have an opportunity this year that maybe they said they had the last few years with the quarterback situation and the offensive line and defensive line situation in the Dakota and Montana schools. But people outside of that region feel like this could be their year.
When you look at specifically the Valley at this point, I know Jason and I, we spend time, you know, every week over at NDSU on the north side of Fargo, kind of putzing around in there, talking with players and coaches, and then we get the other Dakota schools from afar. But you approach this season, a new quarterback for North Dakota State, a new quarterback for South Dakota State, a new head coach at South Dakota, and a new head coach at North Dakota. I mean, we know the Bison just won the national championship. We know a bulk of the team is back, but is it still, from your eyes at FCS Nation, the Valley through I-29 and the Dakota schools, or do you think that maybe, just maybe, that squad over at Illinois State has something to say about it this year?
I think that Brock Spack does have something to say about it this year, and I also think Nick Hill and Southern Illinois are going to as well. DJ Williams coming back with them is such a huge story. Right, last year when he got hurt, they were rolling along pretty good clip, and then he gets hurt, and then the backup gets hurt, and the next thing you know, they're pulling a grad assistant off the sideline with a whistle around his neck and putting him in a helmet and pads and throwing him out there just to have somebody play quarterback. And if he had gotten hurt, I have it on good authority that the next call they were going to make was to Labanowitz, and trust me, nobody in the world wanted to see that anymore. All right? So I think Southern Illinois is a team you have to keep your eye on. If they can keep the quarterback healthy, that's going to be a squad that is going to be right there all season, pushing those teams, the Jackrabbits and the Bison and the Yotes. And I think that, Jace, you can't count out your University of South Dakota team. Now, it was kind of weird timing that Aiden Bauman announces he's going to come back, not going to enter the portal. Then they go through spring ball, and then the entire offensive line leaves for money to some FBS schools. But they feel like they have been able, through that transfer portal and guys that they had, to solidify that group. And we're going to find out pretty quickly whether that's true. But Aiden has such a quick release and gets the ball out of there so quickly. I think the first couple, three games, you may see them go to a little bit more quick game stuff to try to help that offensive line. And look, the running back situation is going to be good for that team. I think the Valley's four or five teams deep this year. And, you know, maybe last year that wasn't the case.
Now, when we look at the Dakota schools, obviously, and we look at, obviously, my second thought, obviously, is the Big Sky. When we look at the national picture, obviously, preseason rankings out, we've got a number of teams from Missouri Valley, top five, top six. You've got North Dakota State, South Dakota, and South Dakota State in the top five. You got Montana State still up there. I believe Incarnate Word is a top five ranked team. When it comes to your top five ranked teams in the subdivision, I know you don't want to give it away yet because obviously we're looking forward to FCS Nation coming back on the air. But what do you guys look at when it comes to your top five so far this season?
Well, look, we have Idaho ranked higher than anybody else does. And the reason for that is Joshua Wood. Idaho has a proven quarterback. And when you look at that top five teams, which for us is NDSU, SDSU, Montana State, South Dakota, then Idaho at number five. Idaho has the fewest question marks at the quarterback position other than Aiden Bauman and USD. So the teams that are behind them, Montana, Tarleton, Illinois State, Mercer, and Villanova, and even UIW at number 11, we have them a little lower than most people do. Every one of those, except for Illinois State, Mercer, Idaho, Tarleton, and USD, has guys who either have played very limited or haven't played at all who are going to be quarterbacking them this season. And I think early in the season, especially these week zero games that are taking place this week, week one, week two, this is not going to be a season where you're going to be able to get a whole lot of on-the-job training in the big conferences in FCS. So these are guys that are going to need to take the reins and do it quickly. We don't have a lot of time for growing pains because a loss in September is a loss still in November, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to stack these wins up early. And if you're the rest of the subdivision, you've got to feel better than you have in years because, you know, Cam Miller, he don't play for NDSU no more. Mm-hmm. And Gray Zabel is not going to run out of that tunnel as the 17th overall pick in the NFL draft, anchoring that offensive line. And Tommy Mellott's not running out that tunnel in Bozeman for the Bobcats. And just imagine you're the guy that's following Tommy Mellott in Bozeman, and the quarterback coach says to you, "Well, son, we think you're a good player. Now, we need you to go out there and do everything for us Tommy Mellott did for us the last 4 years, all right?" You know, not likely, right? It's unfair. And even that's the same situation with the Bison. "Hey, Cole, go out there and be Cam Miller." You're not going to be able to do that. So if that's why I said hope springs eternal for everybody else. And I'm really just excited to see what we're going to find out here in the first month of the year. So talk to me in 4 weeks, and maybe I'll have some idea what's going to happen at the end of the year. Right now, it's just anybody's guess, y'all.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you've got the two of the top teams in the nation, obviously, that played for a national championship, new starting quarterbacks. You've got three teams in the Dakotas that all have new head coaches taking over for programs now. So you got the three new head coaches. You got Cole as the starting quarterback there. You're going to have a new starting quarterback in South Dakota State as well. So do you think that with the transfer portal, just out of my homerism, that South Dakota can keep up with the South Dakota State and North Dakota State that are replacing long-term starting quarterbacks and obviously contend for that Missouri Valley title?
Yes, they did it last year. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any reason why that should change. But I think that, you know, hidden losses, and maybe they're not so hidden in the town where y'all cover the teams, but the guys who left on the staff for North Dakota State, I think, are just huge, huge losses. Quarterbacks coach, defensive line coach. What have been some of the strengths for the Bison the last decade?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those two groups, right? Plus the Rams up front. So I think maybe those are bigger losses than people think. Plus the secondary guys for the Bison from the portal. But the portal giveth and the portal taketh away. So we'll see if guys who, and this goes for the entire subdivision. I mean, you're going to have this group of fellas who maybe have kind of a mercenary streak to them a little bit. And can they buy into the team concept? That used to be a question we asked ourselves every year about 5 or 6, maybe 10 teams, right? Can this team who has 30 FBS transfers, can they buy into the team concept, and can the head coach bring them all together? Well, that was a question we asked about 10 teams in the past every year. Well, now we're kind of asking that about just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be a situation this year and in years going forward where the guy who can do the best job of that, of bringing kids together who have maybe kind of a little bit of a mercenary streak to them, getting them to buy into the team concept, into the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey so much, are going to be the guys that are going to be very successful versus maybe the guys who were super strong X's and O's wise. Because you can find the X's and O's guys as assistants.
Mm-hmm.
But the fella who's leading the program, can he get the new fellas to buy in And can he get them to play for him and for that school? And if the answer to that is yes, we might see a reshuffling a little bit of what happens in FCS football.
Speaking on that, Kevin, then, obviously I know that USD had three offensive linemen head out. NDSU had a number of transfer portals. We saw Mark Gronowski, who's trying to be that starting quarterback at the University of Iowa. Do you think overall, though, do you think that this transfer portal with a number of guys leaving to the FBS division then and having to replace those players, do you think this ultimately could be even the playing field a little bit about a little bit between the teams that have and the have-nots? Because one of the biggest things I've always seen with NDSU compared to some of the other teams in the Valley is that sometimes it simply comes down to depth. NDSU has had superior depth compared to SDSU for a number of years, compared to USD and UND here in the Dakotas. So is that going to ultimately level the playing field a little bit more between these FCS subdivision teams?
I think so, because guys want to play. Right, I think the days of a fella sitting for 3 years to play his senior year, I think those days may be gone. And with that goes a lot of storylines, right? You sign a kid out of high school, he redshirts, plays in four games. You watch him grow as a redshirt freshman on special teams, gets on the field as a sophomore, starts as a junior, starts as a senior. How many kids are going to be willing to sit back and wait? And is it not better for them to go to the D2 school and get game film versus, I can't tell you how many kids from the portal this year sent us film via email and direct messages on Twitter who they're trying to get to another school and all they got is practice film. That's rough, man. That's a rough, rough place to be in. So I don't know the answer to that. And anybody who says that they do know the answer to that is lying to you. I think that we're going to see a lot more movement, which we have seen. But whether a kid is going to be content to go to Southern Illinois and sit for 3 years or come to Fargo or Brookings and sit for 3 years to play his fourth year and his fifth year, I'm not sure that's going to be the case as much anymore. And I think that's going to hurt depth. It's going to hurt the quality of play in a lot of cases because your second guy is just not going to be as good as your first guy. And for NDSU, there's a lot of cases where that guy is almost just as good as the first guy, that second guy that comes in. So we'll see. I think that what we're going to see this year is not going to look the same as what we're going to see next year and the year after as the familiarity with the portal becomes more and guys can see that I can go play somewhere from here. Or, man, this guy who was ahead of me who could really play, he entered the portal and is now playing for the crib university on his couch because all we had was practice film. Damn, that's a tough question. And can we just talk about games that are going to take place soon instead of asking me to pontificate on what I think the future is going to be?
Well, it's fun. The next question I have for you is about a couple of games, but they are most definitely not soon at this point. Recent days, ESPN events, they announced a pair of future Vegas kickoff classic games for Labor Day weekend. 2027, you have North Dakota State battling Montana State. And then in 2029, South Dakota State gets Montana, the Grizz. From just a perspective of getting these guys out into a primetime area in Vegas, getting them into an early season game on national television, what do you think that means for the subdivision, if anything at all, Kevin?
Well, I think that that's going to mean one thing in particular, and the scene in The Hangover where they're driving to Vegas, I mean, that's going to be Labanowitz driving and me with the ginger beard leaning out the window. That's what I think about that.
Just pick us up at the airport.
I can't wait for Stone's face tattoo.
there you go. It's a huge deal, right? And, you know, maybe the FBS folks will not get jealous of it and horn in on that weekend. I mean, don't y'all remember when this week zero was supposed to be the FCS kickoff and it was mm-hmm. a standalone game?
Yeah.
But then our friends in the group of five or the group of four or whatever they're calling themselves these days said, look, we can't be having these FCS programs with better facilities than us and more fans than us get a whole weekend to showcase their subdivision. We got to do something to keep our phony baloney jobs here. We're FBS. And then they started scheduling games on what was supposed to be standalone FCS kickoff weekend. And now we have a lot of games in this week zero. But the 12 games, I think that's a huge deal. And I'm more interested to find out what leagues that have more than nine teams are going to go to nine-game schedules. Mm-hmm. That's the more interesting question to me. And why is that league not going to be called the CAA? If the CAA could get away with three conference games, they'd probably schedule it. You know? because with the defections from that league, I've been saying it for years, they've been hiding not very good football teams in numbers. And that has kind of played itself out in the FCS playoffs the last few years. So I'm very interested to see who's going to play nine games and who's going to stick with eight and continue to play four non-conference games. That's more interesting to me than the Vegas stuff because it seems really far away and who knows what's going to happen between now and 2027. And God knows what's going to happen between now and 2029. Mm-hmm. I hope to still be alive. That's all I can say.
Before we do wrap up the conversation, I do need to ask, with FCS Nation coming back, locked and loaded each and every week, what is new with it? What's the same? And I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this because we're probably going to have to cut it out for liability purposes. What do you and Stone have up your sleeves?
Y'all, it is going to be a great season. We're going to do what we've always done, right? We're going to cover the biggest games that take place in FCS football, and we're going to give it to you from a perspective that no one else does. We take my useless minutia knowledge of the past of this subdivision since I've been a little child following it, and we're going to take Stone's analysis of him being in a locker room way more recently than I have. And we're going to break down every game that's important. We're going to pick every game that's important. And we're going to get you ready to be the smartest person at your tailgate. And maybe along the way, we'll help you win some money as well with the pick segment. So if that sounds like a whole lot of fun to you, well, give us a listen. We'd really appreciate it.
All I heard out of that entire promo, Kevin, was we're going to contrast leather helmets, cut blocks and triple options with five wide. Is that accurate or no?
I mean, the first way that you described it sounds like football to me. The second way sounds like a whole bunch of commie gobbledygook to me.
Oh, God. Well, hey, Kev, thanks for a few minutes of your time. We're looking forward to FCS Nation being up, and it's on our WDAY radio airwaves. It's up on Spotify. I get a chance to listen to it each and every week as well while we're on our way to a college football mm-hmm. game covering Division II stuff, and I know it's about 100 other places as well. So thank you for that. We're glad that the brand is growing a little bit more. It's in Vegas now, so we'll be able to listen to it on local radio when we head down to Vegas for that game. And I know 2027 is a long ways away, but we're anticipating it, Kevin. Thank you again.
Nope. I'm very pleased to do it, y'all. And all this time, you never let me mention how insufferable I'm going to be on August 30th if a certain event takes place in the land of enchantment between the Ashley and the Cooper Rivers, y'all. Maybe that'll be next week.
Oh, did I forget to ask about that?
Go Dawgs. Thanks for having me on board.